Hello and welcome to Tony Brew Ministries. God uses His Word to speak to America and the nations of the world in a sermon entitled, The Time of Your Visitation.
I want to talk from Luke 19, and the text verse is verse 44. We all have our chance to make a difference, our time to live on this earth. We all have our opportunity to be all we can be for God. We have our run, our spin, or turn around the ball field or racetrack of life. Life is much more than a chance. It's much more than a game or gamble. Much more than a fling in the air, a flip of the coin, or a fluke in the dark. Life is precious. It's a gift of God. It's described here, we're talking about the time of your visitation. God has visited us. He has blessed us. We've had times of visitation. This is a time of your visitation. This special time or visitation not only happens to individual people, it happens for towns and cities, for states and countries, nations, and as a group in general, the whole world. In a spiritual sense, Christians and churches, also, we all have our times of visitation. The greatest Bible example of this is probably seen in that of Israel and Jerusalem in particular. They have had opportunities that very few, if any, have had. Unfortunately, Israel and Jerusalem have spurned most of their opportunities and have not taken advantage of the time of their visitation, have therefore not benefited like they could have by the blessings that God has provided for them. We have in America and the nations of the world, we must learn from their mistakes. We must learn from this and stop making the same fatal mistakes as they did. If great empires and nations such as Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome fell after being so mighty, we cannot and dare not hide ourselves under the blanket and tent of our false security, pretending that everything is all right or that we can somehow make it on our own without God Almighty. We must have God, the God that made America great. We must have God to continue to make it. We cannot make it without Him. Jerusalem had the day. They had their day. They had their time of visitation. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 44. They had their time. They had their day of visitation. To have the King, just think about it, the King, the Messiah Himself, sent to them, standing directly in front of them, teaching and preaching and healing on the streets and in the temple daily. They had it all, and they lost it all by rejecting Him. Let us look and listen and learn from them. Taking Jerusalem as our example, here is the time of your visitation. It's a preview of the kingdom. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." The gospel writers quoted this verse in their accounts of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we now know as Palm Sunday. He entered into the city, and they gave praise and glory to Him. This ended up being a preview of the kingdom which is yet to come. The colt will be exchanged for a steed stallion, and the cross will be traded for a crown. When He comes again, there will be no cross. There'll be a crown. When He comes again, He won't be riding just on a donkey, just a colt. He'll be riding on a white stallion, coming out of the clouds. They'll be saying more than Hosanna to the King. They'll be saying glory to God in the highest, and He will be the Word of God. The book of the Revelation talks about Him. This is a preview. They could have had the kingdom, but it ended up being a preview of the kingdom. Praise to the King. They gave praise to the King in Luke chapter 19, verse 37. And when He was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They praised God, and they worshiped God for the wonderful works that they had seen. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Some people didn't like it because they were praising God. Rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet. He said, if I tell you that if these hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. It's like the Negro spiritual said, ain't no rock gonna take my place. I want to praise God for myself, and I certainly don't want a rock to take my place. And they cried out and said, Hosanna to the King. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. The elders and priests, scribes and Pharisees were offended at the praise of the disciples. Soon they would persuade the people and the multitude to cry, Crucify him! Crucify him! Yes, they nailed him to the tree, but he rose again for you and me. Thank God the praise can go on now, but it's nothing compared to the praise that will happen when he comes again, when he comes to get the church, and when he comes to the earth the second time to rule and reign forever. They will praise him as he comes to the Mount of Olives, this time not to be foreshadowed by the cross, but he comes to the Mount of Olives, and the next time he comes, the mount will split in two. There'll be the great valley of decision there, and many multitudes will go into that valley of decision. We have a valley of decision now to make. In America and the nations of the world, we come to two crossroads. Will we go the way of liberalism, or will we go the way of holiness? Will we go the way of God, or will we go the way of the devil? Praise to God can still happen now. Prominence in the kingdom. Jerusalem was prominent in the kingdom, and it will be when the king comes again. Jerusalem, thank God for a president who will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Jerusalem not only is the capital of Israel, but Jerusalem is the center of the coming kingdom, the center of the millennial reign, the kingdom of Christ. Jerusalem is the center of the kingdom. We must pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it's important that Jerusalem is set there in the center of the countries of the world. Jerusalem is set as a mark, and we have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because the success of Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem, will determine the coming kingdom. In Luke 19:41 and 42, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. I struggle to know which is more tragic, not realizing the time of your visitation, or knowing it without taking advantage of it. I really don't know which one is worse. Jerusalem, when Jesus was on earth, they had a time of visitation. The King, the Messiah of Israel, the Son of God, was walking and ministering and teaching and healing right there in the temple in Jerusalem. They had a time of visitation, but they didn't know it. He wept over the city and said, If you had at least known in this your day, they had their day. We have a well-known person, and I don't call names very much, but I will this time because you all know it. Benny Hinn, he has this show that says, This is your day. This is your time for a miracle. Well, this is our day, not just because of a TV evangelist. This is our day. This is our time for a miracle. This is our time to believe God. And Jerusalem had their day. They had an opportunity, and they missed it. If you had known, at least in this time of your visitation, the things that belong to your peace, you had all the opportunities, you had it all, and you lost it. If you had known this time the prominence that you have in the kingdom. Prophecy by the King, verses 43 and 44. And the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. It's just like Nebuchadnezzar when he laid siege against Jerusalem, and they were taken into captivity. and he said it's going to happen again. Here is the Son of God, somewhere around 33 A.D., prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem. And it wouldn't be but some 40 years later, under the Roman Emperor Titus, that Jerusalem would be laid to the ground. And he goes on to describe it. And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus told the disciples, don't look at this building. Don't look at this temple. It's so magnificent. Yes, it's a pretty temple. But the days are coming that there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be taken down. This is Matthew chapter 24, in the first part of the chapter. And you'll read it in all the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you'll read the description there as he prophesied the destruction of the temple. And it happened in 70 AD. This is a time of your visitation. You did not know the time of your visitation. And now your children will be desolate. Now your house will be left desolate. Hear Jesus crying and weeping over Jerusalem as he speaks those agonizing and heart-wrenching words of Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 to 39. When he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you might say, well, I thought they already said that when he came into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. They said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, yes, but you rejected me. And now you're going to say it again. But you're not going to see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And by that time, it will be too late. Many will have rejected him for the last time. Many will be lost forever, because by that time, it'll be too late. By that time, we know now the rapture will have already taken place. The tribulation will have already taken place. Jesus will have already come the second time. And they'll say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God still has a plan and a purpose for us, as well as Israel and Jerusalem. The scripture said that Israel, as a nation, Israel will be saved. God has a plan and purpose for them. He has a plan and purpose for Jerusalem. And he has a plan and purpose for us. His will shall be accomplished. And sometimes we have a false lee on that too. We say, well, his will will be done no matter what. Well, it will. But it could and would be far greater if we would not miss the time of our opportunity and the time of our visitation. We must not miss the time of our visitation. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. We must not miss in America the time of our visitation. God has been good to America. America is built on the Bible. America is built and founded by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. America was not built by just any old God. America was not made by just any old religion. When we legalize the fact that you have to give every religion their equal airtime and airplay, when you have to legalize abortion, when you legalize homosexuality, when you legalize defunding the police and funding abomination in our communities, taking our children and sending them, the scripture said in the Old Testament, you will not send your children through the fire to Moloch. This did not even come into my mind, God said. I never even thought of such a thing, that you would send your children through the fire and burn them up for a false god, Moloch. And we are sending our children to the fire. We are, as it were, taking our sons and daughters, and we're like casting them off the edge of the cliff. We're sending them to a devil's hell. We're sending them into the streets to loot and kill. We're teaching them at an early age to hold up signs, and we're teaching them to do things that are not right. We're teaching them in a way that's not right. We're teaching them to do things they shouldn't. We're teaching them how to worship a false god. We're teaching them how to hate and how to kill and how to do things that are not right. We are sending our sons and daughters to hell. We are taking over our institutions and our universities. We are putting godless and faggots and people in there that are a disgrace and an abomination in the sight of God. Our nation cares more about politics than it does about raising up sons and daughters. Churches have given over to the New Age movement. They have joined secular humanism. They're leaving out holiness and righteousness. We need to get right with God in America. I knew that God would use me today to speak to our nation and to call us back to God, call us back into the way that we should go. God wants us to take heed to the warning that he gives Jerusalem. And he said, oh, if you had known, at least in this time of your visitation, and now these things are hid from your eyes. We have a chance in America now to turn back before destruction comes upon us. We have seen virus. We have seen pandemic. We see fear that the political people are binding us up with fear. They care more about their own agenda and binding us with fear than they do to tell us the real truth. Don't mix it up with politics. Don't mix it up with an agenda to try to get someone elected. Don't mix it up with fake news and lies. Just tell me the truth and I'll do what I need to do. But we don't know anymore what's a lie. We don't know what's the truth. We have movements that are taking over our nation. We have people that are godless. We have people that just have lost all sense of reasoning. Because if you lose God and turn away from God, you can take God out of the schools. You can take prayer out of the schools. You can take the Bible out of the home. And that's the problem. The home has degraded. The home has fallen apart. And if you have the home that's falling apart, you don't have the church. You don't have the nation. You don't have the school. You don't have anything because the foundations are being destroyed. And the scripture said, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? They cannot do anything because you don't have a leg to stand on. You don't have a foundation. God is our foundation. Christ is our foundation. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. The time of your visitation is now. God has visited us. We have seen the great awakenings. We have seen the Wesleyan revival. We have seen the Wales revival. We have seen the Azusa Street revival. We have seen the healings taking place in the 1900s and 50s. We have seen the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and charismatic movement. We have seen the Brownsville revival. We have seen many outpourings since then. And God is still pouring out his spirit. But our nation is on the way out unless we turn to God. We will not find it in a vaccine. We will not find it in a science study. We will not find it in education. We will not find it in philosophy. The only salvation and hope for America and the nations of the world is the only hope that's ever been for salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. In him alone is salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to come back to the God of America. We have to come back to the Bible. We have to come back to the God who made America great. We ought to be able to say again in our nation, this is so because the Bible said it so. And there used to be a time when the Bible said something, that was it. You had no more question about it. But people don't have any regard no more for the Bible. They don't regard it as God's word. They don't know it as God's word. They don't have a Bible on their phone. If they do, they don't use it. They don't have a Bible in their home. If they do, they don't use it. You can tell they don't use it because they're not going by the Bible. And unless you go by the Bible, you're still bound by the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, honor your father and mother. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't covet what your neighbor's got. If you don't covet what your neighbor's got, you certainly don't have a right to go out here and bust up windows and bust up businesses and take what things that don't belong to you. We were raised not to take the things that don't belong to you. And we are turning our nation into a garbage heap. And we're turning it into a hell-going society. And the only salvation is the time of our visitation. God has visited us. He's visited us in our life. He's visited us in our churches. He's visited us so many times. And we have the opportunity now to get right with God. We have the opportunity now to turn back the time, to turn back the clock of evil. We have the opportunity. We can't turn back time like we think, but you can turn back evil. You can overcome evil with good. You can overcome hate with love. You can overcome unrighteousness with holiness. And you can get out of heaven by going to hell. You can go to hell or you can go to heaven. And nobody needs to go to hell. Hell is hot. Hell is a place of separation without God. But heaven is sweet. And it's a place where you can go. You don't have to go to hell. America doesn't have to go to hell. Nations of the world do not have to go to hell. There's a heaven. And there's plenty of room there for everybody. Jesus got a place for us. If we want to go and be with him, he'll take us to himself. Father, I thank you for letting me talk to your people today. I thank you, Lord, for those who are in the Zoom room. And I thank you for those who are listening, either by video or by YouTube podcast page, ever how this message gets out to people. I pray many hearts and lives will be touched today with the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to God's Holy Word as He speaks to America and the nations of the world in a message that has been entitled, The Time of Your Visitation. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior. Receive Him as your Lord. While He's calling you now, be saved. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.